restoration?
Or do you know someone? The truth is, if you're out and about, if you're anywhere social, you know some people that are hurting, if you're not hurting yourself. How do we get there? How do we restore this? How do we experience this? He is risen is critical. It's all about Jesus, okay? Now let me just be very clear. This is nothing fancy. It is about the power of Jesus Christ. The power to transform our lives. The power to help us to come alive. Old things can pass away. Behold, all things can become new. It's a power that if you really know Jesus, you have the power to say no to old habits. You have the power to find victory in your life. You have the power to bring Him glory. And by the way, the mere fact that the very first message included two words, and Peter, is a reminder that God is in the business of restoration. Even to those who have fallen big time. As a matter of fact, I could stop right now and start to ask for testimonies, because some of our lives are manifestations of this. They're living testimonies of how God has grabbed a hold of us in the valley, in the gutter, in the well, and pulled us out. Three things. The first one is critical. You know, the scripture talks about how we battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, as a pastor of an inner city church, let me say that the key item in all of this is the flesh. That you respond to all three of the challenges in the same way, but it's the flesh. And here is the key to it. You need to renew your mind. You need to think differently. You need to have the Word of God transform the way you view life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his word. The word, it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is thinking differently, molded by the word of the God, under the power of the Spirit of God. No minor issue. So if you're here and woe is me, you've got to get over yourself. Repent of that selfish focus. And say, all right, Lord, I have obviously made a mess of my life. May I ask you to forgive me for those bad choices, and I plead with you to come in and take over my life. No matter where we are today, if you are a believer, you ought to be praying that way. Lord, take over my life. Take me from here. John chapter 1 verse 12 says it has its roots in receiving Him. That way you become a child of His. So first and foremost, make sure you have a relationship with Jesus, where you know for sure that you are one of His. That involves an understanding of our own wicked and sinfulness. It's an admission of that. That's a big deal to me. It took me a long time to really come to an awareness that I was a wicked sinner. I would always do a relative comparison to the others that I knew, and I always picked those that made me look better than I should have looked. You understand what I'm saying? But that isn't what it's about. Have we sinned before God? And we need to go to Him, repent of our sins. We need to trust in who He is, God. Jesus Christ is God. And what He has done, He died and He rose again. And He's now ascended to be at the right hand of God the Father and sent the Spirit of God back to be the comforter in our lives, the guiding power in our lives. As a believer, talking to you as believers, if your life has hit a plateau, you say, well, you know, my spiritual life has plateaued. I want to let you in on a truth. This is the way I view life. This is my own 6 decades of experience. There's no such thing as spiritual plateaus. When you say you're at a spiritual plateau, the truth is you're sliding down and you're just not willing to admit it. You're growing cold. You're either going up or you're going down. And you better recognize that it is centered around confession of our sins, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Now, here is a big problem. Do you really believe it? I cannot tell you how many people I have interacted with and even prayed with about confession of sins, and then they live as if they're still in their sin. No, you know what? That's renewing our mind. That's what I'm talking about. You got to say, you know what? I may not feel like it. It isn't a question of feeling. It's a question of trusting the written word of God. And then say, all right, it's written. I believe it. I accept it. That's what I'm doing. I'm going forward. Here is another important truth. Paul was speaking in Philippians, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. For the longest time in my life, when I read this as a Christian, I always thought of the great things that he had accomplished, and that's probably the primary thought at this point in the passage. But it also includes those bad choices, those bad things that we did. Because you know what? We are not supposed to live in the past. Any more than we should be totally driven by our expectation that I'm going to accomplish this in the future. We need to live in the present. We need to aim for the goals, but we need to live in the present. If you're having a struggle in your life right now, figure out what God would have you to do right now and do it. And then 10 minutes later, decide what God would have you to do then and do it again. This is so critical. Not too long ago, my wife and I, about a year ago, went to a funeral of a dear person. I got to be a little careful because others would know who this is. So I'm going to get very generic all of a sudden here. But I remember when we first showed up at the house, this woman was so depressed. She couldn't accomplish anything. She just wanted to die. And I remember you praying with her and working with her, and she accepted Christ. And then there was this issue of this trashed house. Pam came alongside. She didn't know I was going to share this, she came alongside and started helping this person just pick up. You know what was going on there? You know what? We can't solve all the problems, but living in this trashed house is not helping anything. So we can do something about that. Let's deal with it. And it was one day at a time she learned to just say, you know what I'm going to do right now? Because that's what could glorify God. Yes, all these other things didn't work out the way I wanted it, but right now I can glorify God, and I'm going to purpose to glorify God, and that means getting up and getting to work. And cleaning up what should be clean, because that would be a logical responsibility for me. She lived a wonderful testimony for another 20 years after that. Went from suicidal to being a testimony for God. And several of you are of the same. You know, God wants us to go forward. And we can go forward no matter what we face. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that promise. If you don't have it marked in your Bible, you ought to mark it right now. Because I'll tell you what, I've been walking with the Lord a lot of times, a lot of years now. I still go back to this and remind myself, no, you know what, I can do this. I can do this because if it is what God wants me to do, he'll give me the power. We've got to open our minds. Remember this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. A lot of people use this in regards to salvation. It primarily is in regards to sanctification. And here's the truth. If you are a child of God, he is knocking at the door of your heart and wants deep personal fellowship with you. He wants to intimately be working in your life. And you are the obstacle for that not happening. You have got to open your life to him and say, enough of my way. I'm going to go your way, God. It is yours. I've told you, I even said it last week. I vividly remember pulling off the expressway in Baltimore and pulling off in the middle of rush hour traffic, and I was late for an international flight. I was going to Europe. But God got a hold of my heart, and I pulled off the side of the road, and I started praying then and said these words, "Lord, you do not need to use any more 2x4s. I am listening." Because that's what was going on in my life. I was getting just clobbered with things that God was bringing into my life that were, it was just one, "Oh, whoa," you know, because I was refusing to say, "All right, Lord, what do you want? Let's forget what I want. Let's forget my agenda. What do you want as an agenda?" And it is thrilling. Now, I live where I live because of that. You know, I just was reading an email from one of my other neighbors pointing out to the fact that the people that moved into the duplex next to us are the parents of a convicted murderer and have a phenomenal history, criminal history. And this person was saying, "Now, what are we going to do about this?" In bold capital letters, okay? You know, there was a couple emails on it, but the one was particularly funny because they capitalized everything and it's... You know, I didn't respond on the web server, you know, and that type of thing. But I'll tell you what went on in my heart. I said, "I got a purpose to meet these people in a personal way. Because they are souls. They are also made in the image of God. And you live this way when you have no hope." And that's what the Christian faith is all about, hope! And yet we who know it so often hold it tight or don't even hold it at all. And we live like the world ourselves. Okay, that would be really a bad thought. Okay, so maybe you can click it forward for me. I'll do this every time I want to move forward. Now, do your part on the basics. Okay, this is my point. The first one is you got to get a hold of your mind. The second one is that you need to do your part. It starts, if you are a believer, even if you're not a believer, this is a great place to start. Start reading the Word. We got to go back one. Read the Word of God. The Word is said to be a lamp unto our feet, a path, a light to the path. It is intended to guide us. Now, here is the truth. How many of you would say that you are certain in your mind that you are a born-again believer, and if you died today, you'd go to heaven? How many would say that? Okay, now I'm not asking you to show your hands anymore, okay? This next question. How many of you have read the Bible faithfully every day the last 7 days? I don't want to ask for hands here. But do you understand? Some of you recognize right now what you just admitted. You're admitting you're one of His. You're acknowledging that the Word is the lamp, it's the light, it's to be our guide. And by answering that honestly, you would say, "Well, I obviously don't want His guidance too much." Got my point? This is no minor issue. The Word is to be an integral part of a genuine believer. It is His way of directly communicating with us. Number two is prayer. Prayer is an important aspect of life. He tells us just before this that we don't have to worry. He can relate to us. "Let us therefore come on boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need." I don't know about you, but that has been a tremendous help to me. When I take my burdens to Him. Now, here's a confession. Sometimes when you get hit really, really hard and have made really, really bad choices, you're really going to have to discipline yourself to pray. You may feel like it at the start, like, "He's not listening. No, this is not working. I'm giving up on this." You cannot live by feelings and live successfully for the Lord. The third one. No minor issue here either. Listen up, group. It is important for us to recognize that in God's sovereign plan, He has us here together. And he intends for us to work together, to interact with one another. One of his major ways of helping us stay on track is that we are accountable to one another before the Lord. And we are accountable both in a positive and a negative way. When we're messing up, we should have friends who would come to us and say, you know what, is everything all right here? Let's talk. And challenge one another to get back on track. The other side of it is encouragement. Let me tell you, I think it's in that area that we are the most lacking. We need to encourage one another in the good that's going on, the faithfulness that is happening. But the point is, we are not to forsake the fellowshipping together. It is really, really critical. You know, there's several in here that have either recently or in the midst of going through some sort of a recovery program. Let me tell you, those programs are helpful. There's no question about it. If they're Christian-based, they can be extremely helpful. But if you do not connect to a local body of believers, a church, in a meaningful way, you are messed up as far as how God intends for you to be able to stay going His way. He intends for us to gather together. He intends for us to get to know each other. He intends for us to be accountable to one another. Individually, we need to take the challenge to know one another. We individually need to take the challenge to get to know others so that we are truly a family. Open your mind, which is a discipline, a decision that you make. Do your part. Get into the Word, pray, and be accountable to a fellowship. And focus on loving God and others the way you should. The great commandment is that it says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That, by the way, is a decision. We're not talking about a feeling. We're talking about a command to decide to sacrificially give of ourselves to love Him, to honor Him, to serve Him. And He literally goes on to explain what that looks like. The second is likened unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Sacrificially demonstrate your love for God by loving other people, even people that are not lovable. Give of yourself to meet the needs. There are a lot of opportunities to do so in a church like ours. And as a corporate body, we have lots of opportunities where we have done that. We have one brother that is out of a Christian love, has decided that he's going to fix bikes for us. Because a lot of people cannot get transportation in their cars, and so we get a bike, he's going to put his heart to it and get them fixed so that they have transportation. That's a labor of love. There are a lot of other opportunities, though. You know, there was a couple that came to our our community outreach last night that has been in a hotel room for 12 weeks since the fire where their apex burnt down. That was up Camden area, about 3 months ago, actually. But they don't get into their place until Monday, their new place. And their voucher got messed up, and it's the weekend, and they were homeless. Now, we as a body, by the way, you can take peace about this. We as a body were able to come alongside and allow them to stay in that hotel room. Now, here's the thought. What if they were scamming us? You know what the reality is? That's very possible. I can tell you that I prayerfully thought through this, and I tried to ask myself, I don't want to. Remember the offering? We're praying about using it wisely and being a good steward. But you know what? Once we do it with the right heart, then it's God's issue with them. And He still looked at us and says, the fact is, those men were just saying yeah and amen to that. They were part of the decision with me yesterday. I think that's kind of funny. They're amen in their own decision, but they're amen. And but that's so true. You understand what I'm saying? But how did we make that decision? Well, I talked with those that were around, those that are part of our fellowship. And we interacted and we said, well, you know what the universal conclusion was? Everybody we talked to in our group about it said, you know what, we probably should do it. God to be honored by it. And so we did. That's the point. love our neighbors as ourselves. This getting serious about loving, you know, after the resurrection, Peter had a serious conversation with Jesus. And Jesus said, love my sheep. Love my sheep, love my sheep, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep. This is no minor issue. If we really want to manifest the love of Christ, we need to plug into other people's lives. And I'll tell you what it doesn't look like. Being all concerned about your own things. Being all consumed about how I look or how I do this or how I... No, it is not I stuff. It's other stuff. And I'll tell you what, you can look at your own thought process and you'll know whether you're right or wrong in this. Are you living for others or are you living for yourself? And this is so critical. This is subjective. And for my early part of my Christian walk, I couldn't quite figure out how to do this. But I can honestly say I honestly believe I figured it out now. I'm talking about surrendering to the control of the Spirit of God. I want you to show these next verses. The first one, right at the resurrection, they are told, after their resurrection, but you shall receive power when... See if I even have a pointer. I don't have a pointer either. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is an amazing truth. As a believer, the Spirit of God lives within us. And it gives us an ability to respond and to accomplish and do things that we otherwise wouldn't have the power or even the inkling to do. Next two verses, I want to show them both, please. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Say, Lord, in my own life, it means I'm surrendered to you, Lord. I get up many mornings with an agenda. And I can't tell you, by 8 o'clock in the morning, I already recognize there's nothing on my own agenda that's going to be accomplished. Not because I have sat down, but because God had other plans. And I have gotten comfortable with saying, you know what, I'd rather spend my energy doing what God would have me to do than accomplishing any things to do list that I put together. Not that we shouldn't put together things to do list. It really is a tremendous help. But we need to be open. Are you open or are you so rigid that this is what I'm doing? This is what I do on my Wednesday night. This is the schedule of my children. They've got to have a nap now. Hold on a second. I mean, we really, not only our kids, our lives are our Lord's. They're the Lord's. They're not to be around any human being. The last one says, Ephesians 5:18, do not drink. Do not be drunk with wine. In which is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. You know what that word filled is really talking about? Surrender of control to the prompting of the Spirit of God within us. If you're in the Word and you are praying and you are purposing to love others because you love the Lord Jesus Christ so much, you will start to recognize the involvement of the Spirit of God. He is very active in lives. In conclusion, I want you to quickly turn to this. Open your mind. Starts with thinking right. Thinking in accordance with the Word of God. The next one is to do your part. And that is to be in the Word, pray, and to be in proper accountability and fellowship. And the third one is to focus on loving God and others. May we be known for our love. One for another. Every head bowed, please.